If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey, moms, dads, teachers, and coaches. Visit PNCAchieversBaltimore.com and nominate a local high school lacrosse player who demonstrates excellent leadership qualities in the classroom, community, and on the field. Every Tuesday from March 3rd to May 19th, we will be highlighting a PNC Achiever on air and online.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
When you lose a game 12-1, it's hard to point to one singular moment as the reason why. Last night, the O's were desperate for a win in their series finale against the Yankees, but found themselves playing from behind right out the gate when Aaron Judge launched a two-run homer in the first inning. The problem is that pitch should have never been thrown. Judge appeared to strike out looking earlier in the at-bat, but the umpire called it a ball, and Adley Rutschman did not request a challenge. Here's Craig Albernaz on that moment and things getting away from his team early.
Like I've talked about this before, like we want our catchers to be more aggressive, challenging, and we trust our catchers and him and Sam with their strike zone awareness and judgment. And looking at it, yeah, it was a strike, and yeah, we probably should have challenged that for sure. And Shane makes his pitch, and he should be rewarded for it.
There's no off day for the O's to regroup. They'll be back in action tonight for the start of a three-game series against the Marlins. Chris Bassitt versus Sandy Alcantara is your pitching matchup, with things scheduled to get underway at 6:40. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
An insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time for some football, NFL Lunch style, here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's Vinny and Handy, Bob Hattie, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. On the other side of the glass, we heard earlier from Josh Cuevas, talking about things, you know, like coming to the NFL, going up against Zion Young in college, meeting Ozzie Newsome, fellow Alabama Crimson Tide tight end. But he also got to meet Matthew Hebner, his new teammate. And here's Cuevas talking about his new buddy in the tight end room.
Yeah, I first met him at the Senior Bowl. He was on the national team. I was on the American team. We were just kind of going at it. But, I mean, you know, tight ends, really, we always stick together no matter where we're at. So, you know, even if they are on the other team, like, we're going to say what's up. We're going to say hi to each other. So that's where I initially met him. And then saw him again at the combine. We ended up getting closer there, just talking a lot, wishing each other luck in the process. And it ultimately worked out. Look at where we are now. So it's good that we made that introduction as early as we did.
Usually the guys in your room, you know, your friends, you know, you kind of become friends with them because you know you're going to be around them for a while. And I would anticipate they keep three or four tight ends that the draft picks definitely make it unless they just really suck. Otherwise, they're going to be on the team or if they get hurt. But they were drafted for a reason, and they were drafted with these with the new coaches and stuff, and they're going to do their damnedest to make them succeed.
And there was always friendly competition, too.
No question.
Ed Dixon and Dennis Pitta, if memory serves, they got along fine. Even though Pitta became kind of the focal point for Joe Flacco, and Dixon became the secondary guy. Hayden Hurst saw the writing on the wall after year one and two, said, yeah, I got to get out of here because Andrews is like the guy. And then Andrews with Likely and Charlie Kohler, they were all buds. And I would assume that Hebner and Cuevas will be the same here. Because one of them, if things go according to plan for Eric DaCosta, one of them's going to be the heir apparent to Mark Andrews as the number one tight end. As one of our callers said, Andrews is still relatively young, but he is entering his ninth year in the league.
Yeah, and I think their roles will be defined as the practices and stuff goes along. And I don't think you could say what each guy's role is yet, because I think the coaches are, you know, trying to learn that. You know, are we going to see more at the OTAs and the minicamp? Sure, because they're going to show what they can and what they can't do. And then the coaches will take that, you know, and the coach, the tight end coach, he's trying to develop him and, you know, help him improve. So it'll be a fun competition for them. You know, are they going to be competitive with each other? Absolutely. You know, because, you know, you're going to be friends with him, but you want to beat, you know, you want to beat his ass.
You want the targets.
Right.
You want to be that guy on the field. And you mentioned Cole Kmet was the starter early. And then by the end of the season, when the Bears are charging into the playoffs, Loveland became the guy. He became even more so than DJ Moore and Roma Dunze. Mm-hmm. Kind of the guy for Caleb Williams.
Yeah. And the thing about it is then Kmet, all right, I know the role has been defined. I know what my role is. And if I want to be here, that is my role. Because, you know, when a guy gets picked eighth overall, he's getting every opportunity in the world, Bob.
Adam Randall's another guy that was drafted by the Ravens a couple of weeks ago, as we've talked about, converted a wide receiver to running back. Here's Randall when he met with the media over the weekend, talking about his first impressions of his new head coach, Jesse Minter.
You know, I think he's a really, really good guy. I think he's a really good coach, you know, somebody that I can get down with playing for and, you know, give him my all for. You know, someone that I think that, you know, really cares about his players and really cares about the details of the game. You know, that's somebody that I can get with. So I really have been impressed with what I've really been around for the last 3 days.
Well, I think, you know, with Jesse Minter, and I haven't been around him in that setting, but just watching him, he's very enthusiastic, and he's going to be going to definitely give his opinion, especially on the defensive side. You know, because the thing is, if you're an offensive player, you know that the head coach is a defensive coordinator and he's going to be running the defense. So you probably kind of enjoy that. The thing that I'm interested with Randall, Bob, what I want to see, I want to see him running kicks back in a preseason game. That's what I want to see, because he did a real nice job, you know, at Clemson. I want to see that 6'3", 225 pounds return. Like, you would have Muster or Wester and Randall. You know, you got a 6'3", and you got a 5'9", 5'10 guy. So it would be kind of, it'll be kind of interesting to see those guys. The thing is what's going to be cool about watching Randall is, you know, what you see right now, just kind of watch and just see how it goes. Because he should be a guy that keeps getting better and better. And then after the mandatory mini camp, then when they come back for training camp, should be even better. We should see strides with him because he's played running back for a year.
Now, speaking of playing running back, he comes into Baltimore, possibly third on the depth chart when it's all said and done. Not right now.
Yeah.
Because Justice Hill's number two behind Derrick Henry. But here's Randall talking about learning from the future Hall of Famer, old number 22 there.
You know, I'm just looking forward to, you know, being able to get in the room and, you know, see how he works, and also all the other guys, you know, just see how they are pro, and, you know, just being at the Ravens organization, I know that they have great players and great men in their position rooms, and, I'm just going to be a sponge on and a fly on the wall, you know, just in that meeting room, and, you know, take everything that I can and apply it to my game, you know, like Derrick Henry being a taller stature like I am. You know, I'm just going to continue to learn how to work on my pad level and, you know, shorten up my strides, you know, just to continue to be a better running back.
Well, the thing that he's got, Randall, I mean, you're in the perfect situation because you've got Derrick Henry, who probably works harder than anybody, maybe anybody in that building. I don't know. But, you know, we've seen the videos and we see how he trains and we see how he stays healthy and we see what his body looks like and how much money he spends on taking care of his body. So are you going to get on that train or are you not getting on that train? If you buy in to the way that he trains and stuff, you're going to be around a while. If you don't, your career is going to be much shorter. And that's I guarantee you, Justice Hill works his ass off. I guarantee you, Ali does. Because to be in that room, I think you have to.
And finally, let's get to Venga Ioane, the Ravens' first-round draft pick out of Penn State. And, you know, left guard is going to be the long-term home.
Mm-hmm.
But he did play right guard, and here he is kind of explaining his nomadic bounce around on the O-line at Penn State.
Yeah, for me at Penn State, I played both left and right, a little bit of center as well. You know, shout out to Phil Charlton, my O-line coach at Penn State. You know, he made sure every day we were rotating left and right just to, you know, get used to it. But out here, it's, you know, definitely a little bit of work to get used to again, but ain't much to it.
I'm guessing, Bob, it was like in individual drills and stuff. They probably gave him a shot here or two at center just in case and, you know, right guard. But every snap he took in a game, Bob, was left guard. So, you know, like he said, you know, getting a little, you know, it's more difficult here. Yeah, because you're going to do it more often if you are playing right guard. And I would kind of like just to, especially when you got a rookie like that, Bob, is don't make him play a lot of different. Let him get good at one before you start, you know, having him play two or three spots. That's the only thing, especially if you're counting on him, which they are, to be a guy. You know, let him be really good at the left guard.
It's 5881057 The Fan. When we come back, we'll shift back to baseball with the American League East report. Reluctantly revisit what happened in New York last night against the Yankees. The Orioles got swept, got clobbered 12-1. Now look ahead to the Marlins a little bit, so stick around for that. Also talk about the other games in the division last night. Look at the standings and tonight's schedule. And we'll talk about the NBA playoffs with the Wizard Walt Williams, Maryland legend, who played in the NBA playoffs multiple times during his career. Talk about what happened at Madison Square Garden last night, what happened at San Antonio, and what's going to be happening in the West and in the other Eastern Conference series.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
The weekend in the Bronx didn't go as expected, but what did Mike Bordick think about the O's against the Yankees, and how can they get better defensively? Also, Big Ben McDonald from Madison joins us, and what's he think about the starting pitching? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
You know, Memorial Day savings start now at Beller Hyundai, part of Jones Junction. Go see Kevin Brammer, the sales director, and get you a great sales experience. And you can save with 0% 60-month financing on 2026 Tucsons. So come see the 26 Elantra Hybrid. You know, it gets over 50 miles per gallon with gas prices the way they are. That looks good. And make no payments till August 2026 on every new Hyundai. We got banks on site for instant credit approval. Kevin's going to give you $500 more than CarMax for your trade. Get America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, owner assurance. Plus, get you Jones for a lifetime, my favorite thing. Free oil changes, free car washes, and an engine guaranteed for a lifetime. With over 2 million likes and reviews, you too. You can and you will be a satisfied customer. How do I know? I bought 17 cars, and I've been in every department. And you know who's responsible for all that? Brian Kilby. Brian, happy birthday today, Brian. And I know they've got you out there right now for having a nice Mexican fest outside the Toyota building. So anybody, if you're listening, stop by just outside the Toyota store. Go see Brian Kilby and wish him a happy birthday. I think Brian's 29 or 30 today. So wish Brian happy birthday. Brian, happy birthday today, buddy. Memorial savings, they start now at Bel Air Hyundai, part of Jones Junction, 1504 Bel Air Road, only 15 minutes from the White Marsh Mall. See our great selection at belairhyundai.com and get you a Jones Junction tag frame just like me, my wife, Vincent, Charlie, and Rachel.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
A closer look at the AL East with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan. Sponsored by Petro. For the best AC system tune-up and repair services, go with your local HVAC pros. Go with Petro. Visit Petro.com or call 844-482-2496 today.
All right, revisit if we must what happened last night in the Bronx. Orioles get clobbered by the Yankees 12-1. Aaron Judge goes deep. Big talking point on the show today. And on MLB Network, too, where Adley Rutschman did not challenge, which should have been the third strike, which turned into a two-run homer. And just like that, the Orioles were up against it. Part of that baseball IQ, and Adley's usually pretty strong around. I mean, just used to challenge. I mean, Austin Wells was using him for the Yankees like he had him like a bag of chips. I mean, you lose it, but he went early. he was wrong on Saturday or Sunday and Monday. But Adley, come on, dude. Get it together. Foz hung in there for a while. Cam Schlittler did not have one of his better days by any stretch of the imagination. Orioles had first and second, nobody out on a couple of occasions. Hit the double plays in both of those instances. Should have bunted with Blaze Alexander. That didn't work out as he grounded into a, 6-4-3. So the Birds in the series outscored 39-10 last night. They were 0-7 with runners in scoring position. Adley was 1-17 in the series. Gunner struggled. Jeremiah Jackson struggled. Outside of Pete Alonso, pretty much everyone struggled offensively. For the Birds, Boz was the only starting pitcher to get through the fifth inning. Bullpen got lit up on a couple of occasions. Kittredge on Sunday, and then Lee Trevino last night. So it did not go well. So now the Orioles head to Miami, take it on the Marlins. The Orioles have lost five straight games. All five games by five runs or more. But other than that, everything's great. Oh, Jordan Westberg was shut down.
Yeah.
As he experienced discomfort in his throwing elbow, he got the PRP. Just go ahead and get the Tommy John surgery. Get it over with. The optimistic return was mid-June. Remember when every year Mike Elias starts spring training with bad injury news?
Yep.
And it was Westberg. Well, he slept bad. And it was his oblique. He's just going to miss a couple of days. And then all of a sudden, he's got ulnar nerve damage in his elbow. He's going to get a PRP, which is that platelet-rich plasma stuff, which sometimes works. A lot of times doesn't. And with rest and relaxation, you're good. Nah, not happening. So Jordan Westberg, I wouldn't expect to see him in an Orioles uniform, at least this season. Just get it done. Be ready for spring training, please. 2027. Good news is Jackson Holliday is going to take batting practice with Chesapeake tonight, and all goes according to plan. He'll start his third rehab with the Bay Sox this weekend. Tonight, Orioles 15-20 on the year, 6-11 on the road. Send Chris Bassett to the hill, 2-2 with a 5.46, but pitching better as of late. Marlins 16-19. They are 11-9 at home. Sandy Alcantara, he's on the hill, former Cy Young Award winner, 3-2 with a 3.04. And as Nolan said, he had one bad start. Other than that, he's been pretty impressive. Marlins ranked number 22nd in Major League Baseball in runs scored and 27th in homers. They don't hit a lot, but they don't give up a lot. Team earned run average is 9th in Major League Baseball. And, Connor Norby, he's their starting first baseman for the most part. And Kyle Stowers, all-star last year, coming back after missing the first month plus with a hamstring. So getting a little reacquainted with a couple of familiar faces there. Elsewhere in the American League East, however, last night, the Red Sox taking on the Tigers. And Nesson bringing us a little Manos DiPietros, if you get the reference.
High fly down the left field line. Go into ball. The corner. There goes Green taking a look. That ball is gone. Home run. Jarren Duran with a three-run homer. Red Sox have been looking for that for days.
Jarren Duran, Roberto Duran, get it? Get it? Google it. Three-run homer. Red Sox, who just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Astros. They dropped 5 in the 7th inning and win that game 5-4. Tolley, 7 innings pitched. Outstanding performance for the Red Sox, who needed that win. They've already fired their manager, Alex Cora. That was a couple weeks ago in Baltimore. For the Tigers, however, Tarek Skubal, he's going to get surgery on his elbow to get rid of loose particles. This will be his third left elbow surgery. He's already had Tommy John. He had another procedure back in 2022. And now this one, Tarek Skubal, Cy Young guy, a brilliant pitcher, hitting free agency.
Yeah.
This offseason. Remember, he was a 9th-round draft pick. He wasn't a big fancy star. But he turned himself, and Cam Schlittler was a dude that kind of worked himself up through the ranks. Hey, you throw 100 miles an hour and learn how to harness it, you become a dude. But Skubal, looks like he's going to be out for quite some time. 2 to 3 months, it looks like, for the Tigers. The Rays, interdivision battle, taking on the Blue Jays. And, Tampa always has that guy, Nolan, that nobody's ever heard of, that we start to hear of because of things like this.
Ryan Vallejo, and there's a shot high and deep to left, and that baby is gone! Home run Vallejo on the first pitch.
Ryan Vallejo, three-run homer. That was Dwayne Stats, Rays TV. We've been hearing a lot from him lately because they keep winning. And Nick Martinez, a guy we talked about an hour or so ago with Gabe Lax from USA Today, picks up his third win of the season with a 171 earned run average. And former Oriole Brian Baker, ninth save of the year. And he was good for the Orioles. Got a little inconsistent from time to time, but he threw hard. And this year looks like he's harnessed it enough to be the closer for a team that right now has won four in a row and 9 of 10. Boston's at Detroit tonight. Toronto's at Tampa. Texas at the Yankees. We just saw the Yankees handle the Orioles with relative ease. And the Yankees handled Texas relative ease last week in Arlington. And the Birds, as we said, are in Miami taking on the Marlins. 6:40 first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight. Coming up tonight here on The Fan. What do we got? 5:30? For BBT, Nolan McGraw?
That's correct.
Thank you very much. And Tim Barbalace and Mike Borden.
Because you'll be listening.
I listen all the time.
Right.
I'm a loyal listener to 105.7 The Fan, as I said last week.
Why are you smiling?
We're not smiling. We're not on
so
TV
excited.
Watching people do things they're not supposed to be doing. But anyway, that's your schedule tonight. Standings. Yankees game and a half up on the Rays. Blue Jays, they're in third. Orioles 9 games back and forth. Red Sox bringing up the rear. They're 10 games off the pace. Tigers and Guardians are tied for first. White Sox are only a half game out. Nolan, your boy went deep again. Or comma.
Yeah, I better stop, man. I mean, before you know it, the Orioles are going to trade for him. We need the power. Yeah. I don't know. I'll take anything right now.
14 home runs. But I'm not surprised this happened news. Austin Hayes was placed on the IL. With a hamstring issue. Randall Grichuk, who was a rising stud to be when he was in the Cardinals organization way back when, he signs with Chicago. A's 2 games up over both the Rangers and the Mariners in the West. Braves have a 8.5 game lead, rather, in the National League East over the Marlins and Nats, who are tied for second. Cubbies, they've been on fire. They're 2 games up in the Central. And out West, the Dodgers game and a half up on the San Diego Padres. That's your baseball update here for this Turn It Up Tuesday. When we come back, we'll talk some NBA playoffs with the Wizard, Walt Williams. Knicks, they've been on a Yankees-like heater, beating up on Atlanta and taking care of business last night against Philadelphia. Then a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. And as we said, Inside Access will take over, followed by BBT here on The Fan.
This is BJ Surhoff. You're listening to the best Orioles coverage on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan.
All right, fellas, it's Bob Haney here. We got to get honest for a second. You don't go into a game day hoping that everything just kind of works out. No, you want to be ready. No excuses, no late starts. Let's make it happen and be prepared. And it's the same deal when it comes to your love life. And that's why I've been telling you about Blue Chew. And now they've got something new, Blue Chew Gold. Here's the deal. Most blue pills only focus on the blood flow. But Blue Chew Gold goes further. It combines 2 proven ingredients for circulation. And it gets you ready to go. Apomorphine and oxytocin, they get it in. Not only do they work with the blood flow, they get into the dome. You're not domed up because you know that you have these 2 strong ingredients to enhance arousal, desire, and connection from the inside out. It's just not about function anymore. It's about total performance, physical and mental. And stuff works. Like 15 minutes fast. It's designed to get your head and body right. No waiting around, no guessing, just confidence when it matters. We're not 22 anymore, and this upgrade is here, and you should take advantage of it. And we have a special deal for you, the listeners. Get 10% off your first month of Blue Chew Gold with code BOB1057. That's promo code BOB1057. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And as always, we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring. It's Blue Chew Gold. Go to BlueChew.com. Use that code BOB1057. Trust me on this one. Be ready when your number is called. Don't let that loving get old. Use Blue Chew Gold.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bad Morning Show. Vinny and Haney. Inside Access. Live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. 105.7 The Fan. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Nolan McGraw.
The Ravens feel like they got a sure thing with first-round draft pick Venga Ioane, but it remains to be seen where he'll slot in for this new-look O-line. He mostly played at left guard in college, but Baltimore has already brought back John Simpson earlier in the offseason, and he's exclusively played left guard in his career. Could the team ask Ioane to flip to the other side as a rookie? Here's his reaction to that idea.
Yeah, for me at Penn State, I played both left and right, a little bit of center as well. You know, shout out to Phil Charwin, my line coach at Penn State. You know, he made sure every day we were rotating left and right just to, you know, get used to it. But out here, it's, you know, definitely a little bit of work to get used to again, but ain't much to it.
And last night in the Western Conference semifinals, the Timberwolves outlasted the Spurs 104-102 to give themselves an early advantage in the series. Anthony Edwards shocked everyone by suiting up when he was expected to miss at least the first two games with a bone bruise. He went on to score 18 off the bench, including 11 in the fourth quarter, spoiling Victor Wembanyama's 11-point, 15-rebound, and 12-block triple-double in the process. The series continues tomorrow night in San Antonio. From the Bob Bell Automotive Weather Center, plenty of sunshine with highs in the mid-80s. I'm Nolan McGraw, Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles coverage, 105.7 The Fan.
Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan.
Turn it up Tuesday, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. We'll be hearing from him a couple of minutes when we get to the Funhouse. NBA playoffs into the next round after the first round. Some surprises there. Knicks are really playing well. Orlando, well, they blew a 3-1 lead, and their coach got fired because of it. And here to talk about all of that and more, Maryland legend, part of the Maryland Radio Network, of course, with the flagship home of the Terps. And he was a longtime NBA standout, played in the playoffs multiple times. Matter of fact, played against the 96 Bulls. Spoiler alert, didn't work out well for the team he played for, the Miami Heat, during that run. But he's our buddies on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, what's up, man?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. I haven't been to talk to you in a while, so it's good to hear from you. Let's get to what happened in Orlando, though, first, before we talk about the games last night and preview what's going on this evening in the second round. You're up 3-1 over the number one seed, Detroit. And I know that Franz Wagner didn't play, and he's been banged up all year long with some sort of injury. But they kind of gacked away game six. They were up big. Pistons, to their credit, came back and won it, and then finished them off in game seven. And then Mosley gets sacrificed. But after the loss, you heard Paolo Banchero kind of popping off about, you know, mediocrity and losing in the first round, basically saying it's unacceptable. Did those comments, or can those comments, that sort of thing, Walt, lead to ownership and management, you know, deciding to scapegoat someone when you blow a 3-1 lead and would have pulled, you know, one of the bigger upsets we've seen in the playoffs here?
Well, I think that his job was in jeopardy going into the playoffs. So I don't think that verbiage or anything like that had to do with his firing. I think it was written already, especially if you didn't get past that first round. I think it was a huge task to start. They got up 3-1, especially not having Franz there, who is their second best scorer, you know. And so for them to pull it together and get a 3-1 lead, I mean, it would have been a huge feat for the Magic to get past the Pistons in that first round, especially not having Franz. But, you know, you have a lead like that in game six, and, man, you just can't squander that away. So I think the game six lead that was squandered, I think that was the final nail in the coffin.
Now, let's get to the West and the Houston Rockets. They lose to the Lakers, who were minus Luka, Austin Reeves for most of that series, and they go quietly in six. But the drama has been about Kevin Durant. Walt, I know you know KD because you guys were, you know, PG County legends, and KD used to wear the long socks because of guys like Walt Williams, you know, back in the day. But burner accounts and social media and all this nonsense, full disclosure, I'm only on it because I have to be totally honest with you, because what we do now in the media realm that we live in. But what about Kevin Durant now looking like kind of the bad guy because he didn't really gel with the young players and calling out Sengun and others allegedly?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that when you're in a role of leadership, it's about, you know, reading the room, understanding what buttons you can push and things like that with your guys. And so it just seemed like KD might not have had a good read on the team yet before making those comments from a leadership standpoint. And so I think it has gotten him in a little bit of hot water because of that. It doesn't discount who he is as a player. I mean, he's a great player and a great addition to any team. You know, he's a guy who's a focal point and who can get it done. So it's just about those other added things that you bring to the table to help your teammates get to the next level or get to a level where you're a championship caliber team.
The Wizard Walt Williams joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, talking about the NBA playoffs now into the second round. And the Knicks were down 2-1 to Atlanta, and since then they've just been steamrolling teams. They blow out Philadelphia last night. Granted, only counts as one loss, not six, but still very impressive. Why is New York looking like an offensive juggernaut? And not to mention the fact that teams aren't exactly lighting up the scoreboard against them on the defensive side either.
Yeah, you know, New York is the better team in this series right here. They have more depth. They have more guys who can get it done at a high level. They got guys who they plug in to be around the pieces. They just have more. And their defense has been outstanding. You know, so when you bring that to the table, and then offensively, they have more of a flow, more of a team-oriented type of deal. But, you know, there's opportunities for Brunson to take over as well as it should be. You know, he's a dominant player. But you look at Brunson averaging 28 a game, Ananobi 21 and 8 rebounds, Towns 18.5 and 10.5. You know, those are guys just getting it done at a high level. Bridges, you know, in this series right here, he's shooting in the playoffs at like 57.5%. And so, you know, he's not scoring at the same clip, but he's been more efficient. He's been fantastic on the defensive end along with Hart. And so, you know, when those guys play defense like that, they get themselves out in transition and create easy baskets. But for me, like I said, I think New York is the better team, but Embiid is the best player on the floor. And so I think that when he's out there, you know, worrying about fouls being called or, you know, going through all of these injury things and he's allowing it to wearing that injury on his sleeve, you know, just showing everybody how injured he is. I think that brings down team morale. I think the other guys look at that and go, man, our best player is not at his best. And so I just think mentally he has to come to the game and be tougher, come to the game. He has injuries and things like that, but you need to shake it off a little bit more, not let everybody see it as much. And I think that does a wealth of good for your team's psyche. You know, Maxey has been playing well, consistent like he has been in the regular season. Paul George has gone to another level, not only on the offensive end, but defensively as well. And the biggest thing about Paul George is that when play is breaking down, you can just give him the ball and he's getting it done. You know, and then the young rookie, Edgecombe, you know, he's been consistent as well. You know, the environment of the playoffs has not gotten to him, so he's still performing as well. And so, you know, I just think it all falls on Embiid and his mental approach to the game.
Hey, Walt, how surprised are you the way that LeBron's playing and them beating Houston in the first round?
I thought without KD, I mean, to me, that was expected. I don't think that Houston was a good enough team without KD to beat this Lakers team, you know, when you have a healthy LeBron and the surrounding pieces around him. You know, those guys have been shooting the ball well, and that's the key for the Lakers is that the others, they have been playing well, especially shooting the ball well. And that's going to be confident building as the playoffs just go on and on, and especially when you don't have guys like Luka and Reeves at 100%, it's just tough. So you're going to have to rely on those guys. But I think with Reeves coming back now, you have to make a concerted effort to get him going, because he's a guy that can take over games, especially late, and can be a reason why you win.
He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. One last thing for you. J.B. Bickerstaff was fired at Cleveland because he couldn't get him to the next level. Now the head coach of Detroit. How bad do you think he wants to win this series against the Cavs?
Oh, yeah, the Cavs definitely, you know, they want to get it done, man. You know, I think that guys like Mitchell and Harden, they receive their criticisms when it's playoff time. And so both of those guys together, it's about can they get it done. I think that the Cavs have had a great team effort out there, you know, with Mobley, Allen, but especially, you know, guys like Strauss, Tyson, Merle. Those guys have been shooting the ball well and been a big piece to the puzzle. I think that's huge because, you know, Mitchell and Harden has not been themselves, their dominant selves like they were during the regular season. So when that's not present, you're going to need those others to step up and go to another level. And so far for the Cavs, they have at home. On the road, they've struggled a bit, but at home, they've gotten it done.
He's the Wizard, Walt Williams. Walt, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, brother.
You got it. Walt Williams, everybody, we'll come back. Say hi to Nolan McGraw, then say bye to you as Inside Access takes over coming up here at 2. And then it's Baltimore Baseball tonight at 5:30. Orioles trying to break a 5-game skid against the Marlins.
After Vinny and Haney, it's Inside Access.
The weekend in the Bronx didn't go as expected, but what did Mike Fornick think about the O's against the Yankees, and how can they get better defensively? Also, Big Ben McDonald from Madison joins us, and what's he think about the starting pitching? He'll tell us.
Next on Sports Radio, 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, it's Vinny Serrato, and I got to tell you all about Town Appliances' Spring Black Friday shopping event, and guess what? It's happening right now. So do like I did. Drive out to Owings Mills and go to the facility there. Oh, great looking facility. Beautiful building. Right when you pull in, looks great. And then when you walk in, ask for Mayor or Mayor. That's two guys' first names, Mayor and Mayor. And either one. They're both the managers there. So ask for either Mayor or give me Mayor. And you won't be wrong. Now they have appliances for everybody. They have all different, any appliance that you think that you need or that you want, they have it. And they have all the different price ranges. They've got expensive, they got middle, they've got lower. And like me, when I went out there, I wanted a refrigerator for my basement. I got a beautiful, you know, I didn't want the most expensive, put it in my basement. So I got a beautiful GE refrigerator, and the delivery and everything, fabulous. They took the old one, which made me really happy. And their showroom, it's right off Reisterstown Road in Owings Mills. And I promise, Mayor will take great care of you, just like they did me. Now, with decades of experience, nationwide delivery, and their price match guarantee, they're going to match any price from any authorized dealer. Plus, they have flexible financing. So you can't beat that deal. So why wait till Black Friday later this year when we have Spring Black Friday shopping event right now? Visit the showroom, call, text, or start saving online right now at townappliance.com.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
If you're a Detroit sports fan, you're going to want to sit down for this one. Tarek Skubal is headed for surgery to remove loose bodies in his left elbow. And it's a gut punch for the Tigers rotation, already missing some key arms. While it sidelines the two-time Cy Young winner for the next 2 to 3 months, the procedure is minimally invasive. So he will be back to late summer. But is that going to be too late for the Tigers? I'm Maddie Bates.
Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, The Vinny and Haney Show, 105.7 The Fan. Yeah.
Turn It Up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. You've been picking the songs. Nolan's been playing them. Tomorrow's Woman Crush Wednesday. I am off tomorrow. It's going to be Nolan and Vinny. Then I'll be back on Thursday. Orioles in Miami taking on the Marlins. Start a 3-game set tonight. As we talk about BBT at 5:30. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people of Baltimore here?
Keep an eye out on those Marlins base runners tonight. One of the most aggressive teams in Major League Baseball. They're currently tied for second in all of baseball in stolen bases. Their center fielder, Marcy, does lead the team with 10, although he had 4 in one game earlier this year, so padded a little bit. I think it's more about the collective effort. They've just got aggressiveness across the board. It's not one or two guys that you're trying to avoid or keep pinned close to first base. They will all take off on you.
And keep an eye on Liam Hicks, who's one of the top RBI guys in the National League. He's a young catcher for the Miami Ball Club, and we'll say hi to Norby and Stowers and all that fun stuff. So, and Alcantara, he's pretty good.
Future Oriole.
Yeah.
Well, let's will it into existence.
Yeah, when he's 37. That's good. That's going to be the problem. Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with Howard in Baltimore, who's like me. He's still stewing over that lack of a challenge there in the first inning last night. Aaron Judge called what should have been strike three. Goes on here to say, though, complete sign of incompetence. Also, why does this team have 7 pitch count violations?
Yeah.
It's getting to the point where the coaching staff needs to be held accountable. They're just as much to blame as the players.
Yeah, they lead the league in a lot of the wrong categories. They're one of the worst defensive teams, the pitch clock violations. And I heard Ben Wagner on Massengill. Well, maybe they're not comfortable enough, so they'll just take the violation before they pitch, before they're ready. Like, no, that's not how it works. And I'm pretty sure they're up there with runners getting picked off this year, too. And grounding into double plays.
Yeah.
And they give up a ton of home runs as a pitching staff.
Eric in Elkton here says, if ownership does decide that the front office issue needs to be addressed and they hypothetically fired Mike Elias, what does that mean for Craig Albernaz? Only in year one as a manager, he was the choice of Mike Elias. Is he immediately out as well for a full reset, or do you think he would survive?
Nah, he survives. Yeah. I don't think Elias is getting fired, by the way. That has not happened, because David Rubenstein, who was in the Bronx this weekend, has made it perfectly clear, as recent as this offseason when they were signing people, I have total faith in Mike Elias. He has given him the keys to the car. Now, is he driving it well? Is he going to have to get in timeout sooner or later? Yeah. Sure, but he's got full authority. So I don't think Mike Elias is getting fired anytime soon.
And like last year with the Hyde stuff, right, it was a low percentage chance that firing him would lead to some sort of drastic change, but it was the only thing you had at your disposal. It was the only move you could make at that point. You fire Mike Elias, what's the player reaction going to be?
They don't even have an assistant general manager.
But I'm saying that it wouldn't do anything for the team.
Nah.
It would be a firing for the sake of a firing, which I understand the fan mindset. Like, you're out for blood at a certain point. But the Hyde thing could have done something. This would do nothing. Yeah. And the players would, their reaction would be, who cares?
Well, the only reason that you would do it now is, you know, whoever the new guy is would need time, you know, to figure out what he's going to do for the trade deadline.
Right. But it would probably be somebody that's already part of the regime. So you're
why?
You're left. Well, what are you going to get GM off the street?
He's not getting fired, yeah. So it's a moot point. Next.
Last one here. Ed in Timonium says the Marlins should be looking at the Orioles as the get-right opponent, not the other way around. Ed here thinking Miami all day for this series.
Well, I never said the Orioles were going to get right against Miami, so I don't know where you got that one from, Ed. And Miami, before just losing to the Phillies, took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers the series before that. And technically, they're in second place in the National League's Eastern Division. The problem with that division is the Braves are the only team above 500 there right now. The Orioles are in a division with the 2 best teams in the American League, hence the 9-game disadvantage. But as we sit here on May 5th, they're only 2 games out of the wild card. as are about 16 other teams. That's going to do it for us. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney, BBT coming up at 5:30, getting you ready for game one. Chris Bassett trying to keep the positivity, at least for him, rolling. Some runs would help. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Vinny and Haney, Inside Access, live on YouTube weekdays 6 till 6. Search Baltimore 105.7 The Fan. Subscribe for daily shorts right to your phone and never miss what you missed. The Fan.
I'm Pat Boyle here to help you make the most of Westwood One Sports. Thunder Lakers game one tonight, and I think it'll be another blowout for the reigning champs. Luka Doncic still out for the Lakers, and the Thunder have had a week to rest and prepare for this game. Small sample size, but when the Thunder have had at least 4 days off this year, they're 3-1 against the spread and covering by an average of more than 4 points per game. The Thunder are just way too strong defensively for whatever J.J. Redick and the Lakers have cooked up tonight. OKC in a rout. I'm Pat Boyle. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today.
My dad passed away unexpectedly. Of course, it was awful in every way, but we are very grateful that he had life insurance. So even after he was gone, he was still able to provide for us. And that's why I have life insurance for my family. Ethos.com, they make it fast and easy to get covered. It's 100% online. You get a quote in seconds. And you can apply in minutes. You get covered the same day.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required. Rates may vary.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.